Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where we talk about mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Daniel, and join me in this week's valuable episode featuring Julia Evelyn, as we delve into the transformative world of Kundalini Yoga. Discover Julia's awe-inspiring journey of self-discovery and the profound impact Kundalini Yoga had on her life, paving the way for her incredible transformation. In this episode, Julia, who is a dedicated Kundalini Yoga instructor, shares her narrative of how she stumbled upon this ancient practice and its remarkable effects on her personal growth. Through her conversation with me, we hope the listeners will uncover the secrets behind this yoga practice's ability to unlock inner potential, achieve spiritual harmony, and embrace life's challenges with resilience. In this episode, we cover Julia's personal experiences and the pivotal moments that led her to Kundalini Yoga, the transformative power of this yoga practice in reshaping perspectives and fostering inner peace, how Kundalini Yoga became the catalyst for Julia's journey toward becoming a passionate instructor, and practical tips and guidance for those seeking to explore this yoga practice's profound benefits. Julia is a Kundalini Yoga teacher and holistic transformational coach based in Berlin, Germany. She's passionate about creating safe spaces and experiences for people to reconnect to their authentic expression, to live a more intentional and purposeful life by being true to who they are, their values, and their desires. In her work, she calls upon tools and practices based on practical spirituality that have proven effective throughout her own journey, from a depressed corporate accountant to a free-spirited yogi and coach traveling around the globe. I really hope you get a lot out of this episode, and if you could leave a 5-star review or a comment in the comments section, I would truly appreciate it.
And a brief word for our sponsors.
So I would like to talk about deodorants because I'm tired of constantly replenishing my deodorant and then having to worry about disposing those plastic containers. There's a solution for that. Wild. Wild provides a eco-friendly, all-natural deodorant with a sustainable design. They provide a for-life aluminum case. For me, they sent me a personalized case with my name on it. And did I mention you can customize your orders and have these refills delivered straight to your door? This is an all-natural solution where there's no aluminum in the product, just in the case. Go to wearewild.com and use code EASY at checkout for 25% off your first order. All right, Julia, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm really excited about the topic we're going to cover today. But before we jump into it, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners. Let us know a little bit about what it is that you do and where you're based, because that's always interesting. So yeah, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Furkan, on your podcast. And yeah, my name is Julia. I am a self-discovery coach as well as a Kundalini yoga teacher. And yeah, that's also really what I'm here today to talk about is Kundalini yoga. And just to get the message out there, just make this practice more known because it had such a huge impact on my personal life. So much so that I made it my career. I just really love talking about it. And just because it is a little bit less known still than other yoga practices, even though yoga has become really, and I'm grateful for that, more mainstream, Kundalini, it's not yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to just share about it a little bit more. And oh yeah, I'm based in Germany currently. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, lots to unpack there, but why do you feel this form of yoga, Kundalini, hasn't gained as much popularity, or maybe isn't as mainstream considered to some, when compared to some other forms? I've heard about it a little bit, but again, I don't feel like I'm very familiar with the practice itself. So yeah, maybe let's starting off with why you believe it isn't as mainstream.
I think most of it is probably because it was only introduced here, let's call it in the West, around 50 years ago. So before that, it was really kept a lot more secret. So a lot of the teachings were just passed down from teacher to student verbally. Nothing was really written down or made accessible to a wide public, even though Kundalini is really or has really been around for more than 3,000 years. So the first mention of it in text is like more than 3,000 years ago. So it's really ancient, but just not really been brought to the West. And that changed around 50 years ago when one of the students, he immigrated to, I believe it was Canada. And then later on, he ended up in the US and just started teaching there. I think like New Mexico, that was kind of the area. And just started to grow a community from there. And then it slowly spread throughout the world. So it is relatively more widely known, I would say, in the US and Canada, maybe. But even here in Europe, in Germany, it's still quite hard to find studios or teachers unless, you live in the big cities, like you're in Berlin or you're in Munich, Hamburg, maybe. So you have studios and teachers there. But for example, where I live, it's very rural. There's no big cities really around. And if I wanted to go to an in-person Kundalini class myself, I would have to drive probably, an hour and a half somewhere to go in person. So it's not really you go to your local gym and you find Kundalini there. That's not usually how it happens, although it can. So I guess that's probably the main reason.
Okay, fair enough. And then just out of curiosity, where in Germany are you based?
Now I'm curious. still based in the very northwestern corner, I would say. So I'm almost on the Dutch border. But I'm about to move to Berlin in about 2 months. So big changes coming in my life. But for now, I'm based here in my hometown, essentially. Yeah.
Okay, very cool. And then one of the things you mentioned at the beginning was that you're a self-discovery coach. What does that mean? Because I'm just wondering, like, what does that mean? And how are you able to help others with your practice?
Yeah, so I use a lot of, let's say I combine more of the classical coaching approach with, mindset work, limiting belief, psychology, personality types, those types of things that some people probably think about when they hear coaching. But then I also bring in spiritual aspects, as well as Kundalini yoga as well, but also astrology, looking at your human design, sort of those things to really help you reconnect to your true essence, so who you really are on the inside, and then also embody that. So a lot of us, through conditioning and childhood and what we've been told, we want to belong, we want to therefore usually please the people around us. And so a lot of us aren't really staying true to ourselves. And sometimes we can even forget what that actually means. So if you ask me yourself, like, who am I really, and not who am I projecting to be to the outside? So that's really something that I help with and I work on with my clients.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And again, coming back to the whole practice of Kundalini, how did you come across it? And, you know, what about it that, what about the practice itself was appealing to you and made you want to not only learn about it, but then also become like a instructor?
Yeah. So, often with Kundalini, we actually have a saying in the community, is like, you don't find Kundalini, it finds you when you need it the most. And that's what was the case with me as well. I was, you know, on a sort of sabbatical, traveling, really a soul searching trip, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life after, you know, having graduated school and being in my first job and really not liking it at all. I had a lot of just insights that I gained on that trip on myself and some of the behaviors and habits that I had. And yeah, I had really like huge epiphanies and maybe call it an awakening. And I was seeing really clearly what needed to change, but I didn't know how to change it. I didn't have the tools to change anything. And that was really, really frustrating. And it's like, it's almost harder. Like if you're not aware of it, if you're like, ignorance is bliss, right? But once you've seen it,
right.
And then not knowing how to approach the change you want to have, that can be really frustrating. And so I think it was just, I don't know, on Instagram or online somewhere, I saw an ad for a free 5-day workshop. And because I had the time, because I was traveling, I thought, well, let's sign up for it. It's free. Like, I have nothing to lose. I didn't really look at the details. Then one of the days was actually just about movement and the body. And we did a full Kundalini Kriya or Kundalini Yoga set, which it's called. And it was so powerful right from the first moment. It really impacted me. I could feel it like physically, but also just on a different level as well. Like something changed. And it's really hard to explain what that was like, but it really had a profound effect on me. I signed up with the two girls who were leading the workshop. They were both Kundalini teachers. And so I started studying with them, practicing with them, became really quickly super interested and invested in this practice, was just practicing almost every day by myself and then with them via video. So it was all online. It just something like changed, and I didn't even realize it in the beginning, but that was kind of like the tool that I was looking for, that I needed to change a lot of those habits and beliefs that I had become aware of before. So I think it was only like 3 or 4 months in, I said, okay, I need to do a teacher training just to have a deeper understanding also of the, what is the history behind it? What is some of the, you know, what is just some of the basic ideas? Because in class, like, they give you some context, but obviously you're there to practice and not to have like a lecture. So looked for a teacher training. I found one in the Netherlands, which, well, is really close to me. I signed up for that and then attended the teacher training. And, well, I did it purely for my own curiosity and my own knowledge. But as part of the teacher training, you have to teach a class to your fellow students there. And then you get feedback from the teachers. And so as soon as I sat down to teach my class, it was like, it felt like coming home. Sounds a bit cliche, but it was really, it felt so natural to teach and to just be there in front of the class. And, you know, the instructions were just coming very naturally. I didn't have to think about them or like prepare like a lot of instructions. What do I want to say during the class? It was just very innate for me. And I guess the class must have been really impactful as well, like for the people experiencing it, because afterwards both of my teachers came to me and they said, pretty much, you know, you have to promise us one thing. You need to be a teacher. You need to teach. You need to actually use this and share this. Mm-hmm. And so, well, that's how it started. So it wasn't intentional, but yeah, once I had experienced that, I couldn't, there was no way I was going back. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And here you are. Yeah. And, you know, as you were sharing that, a lot of it resonated for me, and I can kind of understand, you know, that experience, because I went through a similar journey of self-discovery, and what I came across was psychology. And I was, as I started reading more, started diving deeper, I realized, oh, this is really deep, deep stuff. And it not only helped me with my own healing, it almost, I guess, motivated me to go learn further and then become a therapist so I can help others and help them with their own healing. So I can totally see the similarities there, where, you know, you come across something that you needed at the time, but then you become so passionate about it and you dive so deep that there you're in a position then to guide others and help others along the same path. So it sounds like that was very similar for yourself with this practice. Now, we've talked about it a little bit in terms of how you came across it and why you became an instructor. Now, what makes this practice different than some of the traditional or more mainstream yoga practices that people are familiar with? What is unique and different about Kundalini yoga?
Yeah, so I guess like the more traditional or more widely known ones would probably be Hatha yoga and Vinyasa yoga. I think most people, when they talk about yoga, they mean Hatha yoga, but it's only like one style of yoga, essentially. With those two in particular, and I think that's also just something we like to do here in the West, they are very heavily focused on the physical. So, and I know a lot of people, they do yoga just to be fit and to, you know, have the physical benefits. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's still a great tool to use for that. Don't get me wrong. But Kundalini yoga is, I would say, more holistic. So it really focuses not just on the physical. Yes, we have the asanas, the postures that you move through. You move your body, obviously. But it also very much focused on the mental, on the mind. So there's a lot of meditation involved. For example, you use visualization. But then it's also very spiritual. So you really want to connect to, we always say, like higher consciousness, to like your highest potential. And that is like just the idea of connecting to something that's bigger than yourself, whatever that means to you. But so that's also a big aspect of it. So we not only use the postures, but we use a lot of breath work as well. We use the meditation, visualization. Mm-hmm. We use a lot of mantra, which is also different from many other yoga practices and can be a bit, well, weird and uncomfortable if you're really new to it. So we use chanting and just sounds. And so I would say that is a big difference to other styles of yogas. And then also, I think what has drawn me in so quickly as well is that the benefits that you can achieve are really available to you from the very first time you practice. So you don't have to spend years and years to perfect the asanas, the postures, but very quickly, almost immediately, you can get the benefits. You can feel the benefits that you're getting. So you can feel how it's affecting your body, how the energy is moving. Maybe just let me go back there a little bit so that this all makes sense.
Sure.
So the term Kundalini actually refers to an energy potential that we all have inside our bodies. So it's like a reserve energy, I like to call it, that is really dormant in the body. And yeah, we usually say it's like at the base of your spine. So if you're familiar with the chakra system a little bit, it's where your root chakra will be. So the very, the first chakra really at the base of your spine. And that's where this energy potential is. And all yoga, but Kundalini yoga in particular, really works on awakening this energy potential. And so that then the energy can really move through the body, flow up through the spine, and then just really whatever you need this energy for. So it can be used for healing. It can also be used to, you know, if you really want to accomplish a certain goal or something. So whatever you would personally need more energy for, it doesn't even need to be intentional. The energy just knows where to go. And that is Kundalini energy. So all types of yoga in some shape or form work with this energy. But Kundalini is really all the asanas, all the postures, all the exercises are really focused on awakening this energy. So we have a lot of movement, a lot of exercises working with the spine, for example. Also, a lot of the breath work is really focused on being energizing and awakening this energy. And so it is not uncommon, and that's what I experience as well, that you get like tingling sensations like in your toes or in your fingers. So there's really on a physical level something happening that you can feel and that you can be aware of. And with Kundalini, this is really, even if you're practicing your very first time, you can feel this and this is available to you. And that's really what I like. It's so accessible. And then at the same time, a lot of these practices, they are really applicable to everyday life. So they have very practical applications. So some of the breathwork is very calming. So if you struggle with anxiety, for example, and I know a lot of people do in these times that we live in, you can use some of the breathwork to calm yourself down, to calm your nervous system down, or just use some of the practices, the more physical ones, to just move the energy through your body. Also, if you're feeling kind of heavy and like lethargic, move that stagnant energy, and then that state of mind also changes and is affected. So the applications are virtually endless, and that's also why I like using it in my coaching practice as well, to just as a support, because I guess I think we understand this more and more, that a lot of like trauma and emotions and memories are really stored in the body. So you can do all the mindset work you want, but some things are so deeply rooted within your system that it's really hard to get to them and change them just through the power of your mind and the power of your will. And so just having this practice that works on the physical, but then also on the mental at the same time, on the conscious, on the subconscious, is such a catalyst. And that's really what I witnessed within myself, you know, so many things that I was like trying to change, and I was trying to change this habit and not do this anymore. And it's like, it's not like I didn't have the willpower, but you know, it's so hard. And I guess, I think everyone can agree, like you're trying so hard and you really want this, but somehow you always end up sabotaging yourself in a way, I guess. So this is like, there's really so many applications. And I'm getting excited again, like talking about it.
No problem.
I feel so passionate about it, I guess.
No, absolutely. And your passion's evident, which I always admire when people are passionate about what they teach. And I think there's a few things I want to explore there with you. But one of the things, like I practice yin yoga. I don't know if that's like actual yoga practice, but that's what I know it as. And I find, you know, to your point earlier, I find it very powerful because it allows me to, you know, engage the physical, like my body with my mind, and holding those deep stretches allows me to process a lot of things that are going on in my head as well while I'm engaged in the pose. So I do find it very therapeutic for myself, especially after a long week. If I'm able to go for the practice, it really helps me work through a lot of things that I've perhaps been carrying around or bring to my conscious awareness. And sometimes I find that you know, to your point, I'm holding it somewhere in my body and how can I release it? And one of the things I did want to explore with you is that whole aspect of you saying, you know, you mentioned the root chakra, but being able to identify that energy in your body and perhaps direct it in a certain way. Why is that important for people? Because I find like often, I know you mentioned it can be helpful when you're feeling lethargic or you're just not feeling motivated from an energetic standpoint, but just being able to recognize that energy in your body, I think is that alone is very powerful, but then to be able to direct it in different parts is also very useful, right? So just wanted to explore that a little bit further with
you. So this energy that we have, we like to call it really the potential for highest consciousness. That's kind of like that's really what Kundalini refers to and what it means. And so we want to raise this consciousness, this energy throughout the body, throughout the chakra system, like on the way, balancing the chakras, which has like a whole multitude of other benefits. Like, I'm not even going to go into that because that will be a whole other podcast episode to just go in depth about the chakras. But yeah, to really raise it up through your body, through your spine, which is the central energy channel in your body, pretty much as well. And then to have that individual consciousness join with, like group consciousness, which happens in a yoga class. So you join kind of consciousness with everyone who's there. And maybe if someone doesn't even have to be a yoga class, but maybe if you've been at an event with a multitude of people, it's like there's this group energy that kind of develops, and that sometimes you can also feel, okay, like this, the energy of the group like changes or raises. So it's not just in yoga, but it's what we do in Kundalini, and why it's so powerful to practice in a group and not just by yourself alone at home, which is also powerful, but being in a group can just take it to a whole other level. And then beyond these group consciousness, we want to take it like even further to, we call it cosmic consciousness, but it's well, really like noble consciousness, universal. So whatever you want to call it, but it's like this all encompassing, this bigger knowing, and also kind of like the energy that we all kind of came from. Like when we say we're all connected, it's because we all come from sort of the same energy at some point. And so that we really want to join them, and that can give us just a lot of, let's say just wisdom and awareness to then being able to really see, I guess, more clearly to really see, okay, where am I standing? What is holding me back? Where am I in my own way? Maybe what is keeping me from really reaching and living up to my fullest potential and really being my best self? And sometimes those are really conscious realizations that you sometimes have, especially, you know, at the end of every yoga class, we have the relaxation, the shavasana that we do. And I think that's the same in every style of yoga. And maybe you've experienced it in your yin classes. Sometimes we have like a big release just some type of thought or something that just pops in your mind, and it's like, oh, like that's something I need to do or let go, or the body is just releasing it on its own. But this can also be really subconscious without us even knowing. But then just making better choices, just living. Such a like mainstream term, not like being more in alignment just with just your highest potential and whatever that can then look like. That's what I said earlier. Sometimes this energy is for healing, or it's for being more active, or for energizing, but it can also be for calming down. So that looks different for everyone individually, but just having this this kind of like big picture view and this awareness, that that is really what happens when we can awaken this Kundalini energy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And thank you for expanding on that. And I mean, a lot of it makes sense. There is a lot of literature around the power of community and belonging, right? So that's kind of what you're referring to when we practice in a group. You can kind of feel that energy shift because there's so many of you, and there's that aspect of belonging. And then the other piece is I've also come across this. In quantum physics, they talk about energy in a box, and often the energy is limited depending on the size of the box. And as you open the boundaries and perhaps expand the boundaries, the potential energy also expands. So it's kind of similar in that sense. But yeah, in my practice, I also find I'm able to process things differently, you know, where, for example, a thought or an idea or belief is like blocked inside when I'm practicing, and I'm basically releasing some of the tightness in my body. I'm also able to work through the thoughts, right, that have been blocked. So I can definitely see a lot of benefit from that standpoint. Now, you know, you talked about the whole aspect of that spiritual connection, which is something I also like to cover on this podcast. And I try to look at it from everyone's experience is different when we talk about spirituality, right? And I think a lot of times people get stuck on their own ways or what they've been taught. But I like to look at it as, okay, well, it doesn't matter how you get there as long as you're getting there, right? And everyone has their own way because we're all different. But what about in this practice specifically is so profound about this connection to this higher self, or however you want to refer to it, the collective consciousness? But what is so unique about this practice that allows you to do that? And I know we've touched on the whole aspect of community and raising that energy together, but is there anything specific that you feel is unique or allows you to get there in a different way?
I think for me, what has been really powerful in the practice of Kundalini yoga, for someone that's new, it can sometimes seem like we're doing a lot of things at once. So there will be some postures, some exercises where you're doing a certain movement with your body together with a certain breath. You're doing something with your hands. So you have a certain mudra, like Gyan mudra, having your thumbs and your index fingers together. Like there's a lot of them, but that's like the most widely known, I would say. Mm-hmm. And then you're having your eyes closed, but you're focusing your eye gaze somewhere. And then, so it's like a lot of things happening at once that you kind of like need to focus on. But by doing that, you become so present in the moment because you have so much focus on at the same time that then it's also very easy to just really be with the flow, be in the practice, and just, you know, a lot of people, they meditate and they think, oh, the goal is to not have any thoughts anymore, to, you know, be beyond my thoughts and not think anything anymore. And they get so frustrated when they're just sitting there and they're focusing on their breath and their thoughts are racing. Sometimes the thoughts are even more frequent and more annoying than just when you're doing something else. And so let me tell you, you can never have no thoughts. Like you have like more than 1,000 thoughts per blink of an eye, like per second, whether you are aware of them or not. So that will never work to have no thoughts anymore. But all of these different focus points in Kundalini yoga really helps me at least to slow my thoughts down enough to really then have like windows, I would say, opening into the mind where I can then be more intentional and have like more of that awareness. And I always like to say it really helps me to see, and I guess that's also where like this higher consciousness, group consciousness comes in, to see beyond my own perceptions, because we all have we're both wearing glasses, but we all have like these imaginary glasses with our own perceptions. So we all see like the same, or like we all have the same reality that we're seeing, but how it processes in our minds, how we perceive it, is so unique. It's so different. And to just have like that kind of window opening, because the mind is a bit more still, and then we have like this higher wisdom can really help us to see, like, to just take off the glasses for a moment and just see more clearly. And I think that is something that's very, very powerful.
Right.
And that Kundalini for me helped with, because it really gives you so much else to focus on during the practice that almost automatically the mind is like, okay, I cannot focus on my thoughts anymore because I have so much else in this moment to focus on.
Yeah. And I can relate to that as well. I think at least what I gather from what you're saying there is what I've experienced is when you're in those moments, and, you know, people describe it differently, but, you know, one of the ones that I find very cool is that whole aspect of flow state, right? And when you're in that flow state, you kind of see this expansive perspective, or maybe this wider perspective and on a deeper level. And that, I find, at least humbles me, because I'm able to realize that the way I perceive things, as you mentioned, is very limited. And that humbling in itself allows me to see that, okay, I'm probably seeing a very small fraction of things, and the other person that next to me or whomever I'm disagreeing with is seeing it differently, but none of us is right or wrong. And I think it allows me to just feel closer to people, because I'm like, oh, because my perspective is limited, theirs is too. Maybe we can collectively start looking at things a bit differently, or at least find places where we are seeing things or where that commonality is. And I find, yeah, whether it's meditation or any spiritual practice people have, that allows you to just have that wider view. But it's such a short time frame, right? When you're in that flow state, when you experience it. And that's what I think kind of wants you to keep going back, because it's such, for me, I find it's a very nice experience, because like I said, it allows me to find peace within myself, but then also have this level of humility, knowing that, oh, I don't see all this all the time. It's just such a limited window. And then have that aspect of empathy and perhaps compassion for everyone else around me, including myself. I don't know if that's
definitely
your experience.
I was going to say that not just this practice, but just this realization in general, that how I see things is not necessarily how everyone else sees them. And I still very vividly remember when I first had this awareness. I think it was actually, learning about the Myers-Briggs personality types. And once I read through like my type, and I was like, oh, if there's like so many other types, like then obviously that means they perceive things very differently. And to just have that realization that, and I was already in my early 20s, and that's the first time I actually thought, okay, maybe not everyone is seeing things the way I do. And that made me, like you said, a lot more compassionate towards others, but also towards myself. And also just gave me the ability to sometimes also question myself. Is this how I'm perceiving this? Is this actually true? Or is this just, you know, some sort of story that I'm just in, that I'm creating in my mind? Can I see, like, can I take a step back and maybe look at it from a different perspective? And I think that is just so valuable for life in general, to just have that and to be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I find it's also allowed me to let go of past beliefs and thoughts as well. Because, you know, obviously we have things that happen to us throughout life, and a lot of those things stick with us and we hang on to them. And then we create beliefs about ourselves based on that. But through these practices, and like I said, however you get there, it's allowed me to release those beliefs that I hung on to for so long that weren't serving me. And to your point, maybe taking a step back, looking at it from a fresh perspective, or even reframing it and recognizing that, you know, again, no one was doing things to me intentionally or with the intention of hurting me or putting me down. It's just these things happen, and either we can use these experiences as an opportunity to perhaps build ourselves in a different way and come out differently, or we can use it to hold ourselves back. That is a choice we have. And I think that just that recognition also allows, at least for me, gives me more agency, more freedom. I feel like I can influence things a bit more. And I think, you know, a lot of the times we become so controlled by our environment. And that's where, at least what I see, even with the people I work with, that's where a lot of that anxiety comes, because you're just waiting for things to happen around you without any influence, rather than recognizing that you have a lot more influence in a lot of it, right? And I'm not trying to minimize people's experiences, but that's ultimately my goal when I'm working with people, is get them to realize that, hey, you have a choice here. You can really influence a lot around.
Definitely. I think there's nothing more empowering really than to realize how much in charge we actually are, and then we can really, you know, because like you said, we all have our experience if things happen, and some are dealt a worse hand than others for sure. But that doesn't mean, like, that doesn't have to affect your future necessarily. And I think you can also see that, like, you can, like, some people who had like such difficult life, and so many just where you're just saying, oh my god, like, how much can they take, or like, how much can they handle, and they are doing it really gracefully and it doesn't seem to affect them at all. And then you have others who had, I would say, relatively, or compared to that, like, just minor things, and I would include myself in that. Like, my upbringing was very peaceful, and like, I had everything I could ask for, but I was just miserable growing up, and especially as a teenager and as a young adult, I was really depressed, and I had like really self-destructive habits, and I still to this day I cannot figure out where this is coming from. And you know, maybe this is like not even in my lifetime, but ancestral, and all those things that are like in play there. And I was always like almost blaming myself, like, why am I having such a hard time? There's like, I had it so good. There's like other people who had it so bad and they're doing fine, and I'm struggling over here. Like, what is going on? Because I didn't realize that I, like you put it, I had a lot more like agency and a lot more say, and how, and I was always just seeing myself as a victim. And that's just one of the things that fundamentally changed, as also through, not just through Kundalini, but with this practice as well, and has just made a huge impact, as you can imagine, on my life.
No, absolutely, and thank you for sharing that. And I know we're coming to a close here, but I do want to give you the opportunity, if there's anything else you'd like to touch on as far as this practice goes that we may have not talked about, and you feel would be valuable for people to know, as far as this practice goes, or anything in general.
I mean, I could share forever about this, but I think what I do want to say, and maybe this comes back to the beginning and also how I found Kundalini, if this has made you curious, or just in general, if you find yourself just being drawn to a certain topic, or just being like, hey, this sounds intriguing, this sounds interesting, I feel like I want to know more about it, just follow that impulse and that desire, follow that curiosity. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to make sense, and that it doesn't mean that that will lead to you completely changing your career and whatnot, but you just never know what it might lead to and why you're having that desire and that curiosity. So that's really it, just what I would like to share, that follow your curiosity and just be open and stay curious.
Thank you for that. And I guess, as we come to a close here, I do want to give you an opportunity. If listeners do want to get a hold of you, what are some ways they can do that, whether it's online or social media? What are some ways?
So one great place to start is always my Instagram, So it's Julia_Holistics. And then I also have a website, which is www.theholistictoolbox.com. And I do have a blog on there with, blog posts about Kundalini yoga and also some specific practices that you can do, for example. And I also, like, if someone's really, really intrigued, I do offer, it's like a one-on-one session where I kind of create your own practice, I choose a practice for you. It involves a little bit of coaching or like lifestyle advice, more to that than coaching. But yeah, we do a video recording and you get your own personalized practice tailored to whatever it is you feel you need. And so that would be just a beautiful way to just dive into it a bit more deeply and also get some questions answered. But also, just send me a message or an email if you have any more questions, if you want to chat about this. I'm always more than happy to talk about Kundalini or anything else in general.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll put that in the show notes. So that's great. I just want to thank you again, Julia, for your time and, your willingness to come on here and share your story with us, but also help us understand about this practice. And like I said, I can definitely sense your passion with it. So that's always exciting to feel from people that they're, in the work they're doing. So
thank you so much
thank
for
you
having
again.
Me.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Julia. As always, please leave a review or a comment in the comment section. I love hearing from you all. Or if you haven't, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify. That's the best way to support this podcast. And also check out the sponsors of the podcast. Thank you, and until next week.